In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's not a matter if Christ returns to judge, but when. For he is coming back, and only for one purpose, to judge. So when will he return? When these holy angels pour out of heaven, blasting their trumpets, when death is struck and nature quakes, when all the dead are raised, when the sea is overturned and the mountains fall, when the Son of Man returns in his glory, then he will judge. He will divide all people into two groups and only two groups, regardless of ethnicity, culture, background, regardless even what time in this world's life you lived. There are only two groups, sheep and goats, believers and unbelievers. It's not a matter if he is coming to do this, but when. And it is far sooner than you or I think. So what should we be doing as we wait for our Lord's return? What kind of people ought you to be? Well, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you eagerly await his return. Do not use this time to satisfy your own desires. Do not live only for yourself, but live for others. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received, for you have been washed in our Lord's own blood at holy baptism. His royal robe drapes you from head to toe. His righteousness is yours now and forever. The promise of God never fails. Your baptism never fails. This is who you are, regardless of what someone else thinks about you. This is who you are, a baptized child of God, regardless of what you think about yourself or how you feel about yourself. You are a baptized child of God now and forever, heirs of heavenly glories and co-heirs with Christ. So live as children of God, so that others may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Live for your heavenly Father. Do not sit around just staring up at the sky waiting, but abound in good works. This is what you are to be doing as you wait. You need not search for these good works. God has taken them and set them right in front of you. They are easy to find. And do not think that others have far more than you, or that somehow yours aren't as good as theirs. For to each of us, God has given a vocation, a calling in life. And where our vocations overlap, such as being a father or a mother, the way that we carry out these vocations differs drastically depending on our abilities, our age, and also, say, our children's needs. So what are you? What is your vocation in this life? Are you a husband or wife? A father or a mother? Are you in management or under management? Are you a son or a daughter? Are you a civil authority or a citizen? Consider your place according to these Ten Commandments, and then you will see very clearly just what good works you should be doing. And then you will live in service to one another and those around you as you eagerly await for your Lord's return. So children, do not complain that you're not in charge, but honor your parents. Obey them willingly, serve them joyfully, love and cherish them as the highest earthly gift God could possibly give you. And not just while you are in their house, but always, until your life on this earth ends. For to obey them is to obey God. To serve them is to serve God himself, who has given them to you. For what good is it if you despise this command? What good is it if you solve world hunger or help your friends and yet you despise this simple command of God? Does that please God? Of course not. And the same is true for all of us who are under any authority. To serve is to serve God. Parents, do not exasperate your children. Don't be a burden on them. That is not your role. But train them, teach them, raise them in the fear of the Lord. God has not given you children so that you could be happy. Certainly that is a blessing, but God has given you children first and foremost because they need godly Christian parents to watch out and to teach them. So teach them. Clothe them, feed them, love them, embrace them, yes, punish them and discipline them when necessary to show them right from wrong. But do all of this in the fear of the Lord so that they too may someday stand next to you before the Lord. These are the good works God has given us to do. Wives, submit to your husbands. Obey and help him. God hasn't given you a husband so that you have someone to complain about. Yes, they have many faults and failures, but so do you. But God has given you a husband so that you might cover his faults with your love, your wisdom, and your help. Speak well of him at all times, honoring his God-given role over you, and in this way you honor and serve God. Husbands, do not demean your wife, but love and respect her. Understand her God-given role and how she seeks to carry it out faithfully. Understand also that she is a co-heir with you in heavenly glory, equal with you in the things of Christ. Just because your earthly position is different doesn't mean your eternal position is any greater. Do not demand from her. Do not boss her around. Do not make her do things for you, but do everything for her. Love her completely and unconditionally, and in this way you serve Christ. To the single, widows, and virgins, be content with what God has given you. Be content where God has put you in this life. He knows your longing for companionship. He knows what you need. And he himself still cares for you. Besides, you still have family and friends to help. You still have a church and a government to serve. These are the good works God has given us to do. Above all, let each of us be content where we are. We're so hung up on getting more happiness that we fail to serve joyfully where God has put us. We want a change in life, something different, something new, something exciting, instead of this same old boring routine, cooking, cleaning, going to work, going to school, raising kids. But don't you see, these are the very good works that God praises you for? That these are the good works he has set before you in your life to carry out joyfully and willingly? The world will never publish headlines that you tucked your children into bed at night. The world doesn't care that you kept your house and took care of your things, even if it's all out of date. The world will not notice that you made dinner yet again for a friend or for a spouse. The world doesn't care if you go to work and are faithful in everything. The world will not care. For the world is concerned about these, but the world views these as jobs and chores. Things that we have to get done so we can get on to the more fun, better things of life. And so it's your turn to do this or that. I did it last time. But God views these things as the highest work. Whether small or insignificant, boring, routine, or even downright disgusting at times, these are the works that please your heavenly Father. Why? Because they flow from your faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So on that last day, Christ will set you on his right hand and will praise you for the good works that you have done. As you ask him, "When, Lord, when did we do all of these things?" It's a sign of your faith. Works are a sign of your faith. They cannot save you. They cannot augment your position in heaven or even help out just a little bit. But faith always does these good works. So the unbelievers on Christ's left, they have no good works whatsoever. Even if they did the exact same things you did, even if they did far better things than you, they have no good works whatsoever. for because they did not have faith. For Scripture says, everything that does not come from faith is sin. But, you say, does not Scripture also say that all our righteous acts are filthy rags, that is, all of our good works, filthy rags? Does not Scripture also say that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us? Yes, indeed. And that is why these good works cannot save you. That is why they cannot help you or open up heaven's gates to you, even in the least. They are good, but they are not perfect. For each and every work that you have done, each thought, each word, each action is corrupted with sin, sprinkled with the little sinful flesh as it sullies everything. And so, yes, you have complained. You have begrudgingly served. You have wanted to do something else. You have failed. And that is why you have come back here. For you understand that your works cannot gain eternal salvation, no matter how good they may appear in this life. You have come back here to receive your salvation by receiving Christ in word and sacrament. That He is coming to you this day to forgive you all your sins, the big ones and the small ones, the ones that seem routine and habitual, and the one-time sins. He forgives them all. For He is your merciful Savior who does not treat us as our sins deserve, but according to His own love and mercy. And on top of it all, He takes your works and scrubs them. He takes every thought and every word that comes from your mouth, that is no exaggeration, He takes it all and scrubs them with His divine blood so that He may present these works to your Father as good and perfect, solely because of Christ. So yes, abound in good works, but do not trust in them. Trust only in Christ. Salvation is found in Him alone. Your heart is tied to Him alone. He alone can open those pearly gates and close death's gaping mouth. He alone is your trust and your life. And as you wait for His return, continue to carry out these things God has set before you. You are not to be sitting in this building even waiting, but you are to be living out there, taking care of the things God has entrusted to you. Grow in this. Be lazy no more. Complain no longer. Stop trying to make yourself happy and simply find joy where God has placed you. Above all, be content. Whether rich or poor, married or single, healthy or sick, young or old, be content with what God has given. For you know full well that this present world is swiftly passing away. And it's not a matter if Christ is returning soon, but when. And when He does, He will welcome you into His heavenly dwellings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.